Welcome back to Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Up next, we talk with Paul Salt, the owner, and Jason Love, Vice President of Sales with Manly Brothers of Indiana Incorporated.
Back to the ways of John and June.
Once it's dried, we put it through screens. Screens are basically wire meshes that stop the coarser particles falling through and allow the finer to pass. Those make it into the grates that we commonly use within sell to the frack industry.
Jason Love, with Vice President of Sales, and Paul Salt, the owner of Manly Brothers of Indiana Incorporated. Certain plays, now, every single shale play is a little bit different. The Permian's different from the Bakken and the Tuscaloosa, that type of thing. I know there's different sand grades, that sort of thing. I think that's what they're called, sand grades. Is there any particular shale play that's best known for any particular sort of sand grade, that sort of thing? Or does it all really depend on when you get inside the shale play? It even gets more specific, so it's actually specific to each well.
Yeah, and I'll take this part of it. What you're basically asking is are the different shale plays, are there different mesh sizes or different grades that are used in those sizes? And yes, they are. The biggest thing is that it all depends on the company's completion program and what their production plans and their completion plans are, and also in historic completions of those wells. At one time, in the Haynesville, like for example, in the Haynesville Shale, the thought process was that you needed to use very strong ceramic product that needed to be just for the high temperature and the high pressure situations that those shale rates are, that those shale characteristics had. And in the Permian Basin, a lot of that was the 2040s, the 3050s, and it depended on whether or not it was a horizontal well or a vertical well. But nowadays, just within the last, I would say probably 2 years, most of the shale plays have switched themselves to a 40-70 or 100 mesh a type of play. And the reason that they have is because of just basically purely transport mechanism. It's cheaper to pump a 40-70 and 100 mesh with a polyacrylamide slick water than it is to add gel and other chemicals to it to make a linear gel or to make a cross-link fluid to transport the material into the formation to actually hydraulically fracture the rock itself. So it kind of an answer to both of the questions is yes, there are different mesh sizes that are used in different basins, but typically what you're seeing just for the last 2 years has been purely 40-70 and 100 mesh.
Okay, so how about this? When you kind of refine the sand, and then you ship the sand out, I would imagine there's got to be some handling and that sort of thing that gets involved, or is it perfectly fine when it shows up? Is there anything that needs to be done from the sand manufacturer or the sand pit to the well site?
Nope, just a rail car, typically.
There's a rail?
It's just a transport mechanism, either the rail car or a barge or a truck, however it's handled from one place to another, but there's usually no handling if it's on a rail, you put it into a rail car that is shipped to a transload. It goes from a transload or transfer station to a truck and onto the well site.
So that's got to be pretty easy. I mean, there you're talking about just the railroad, which has been around, I believe it was a backbone of the economy of distribution. So that seems pretty easy. Did you guys have any issues with that when there was kind of the backlog, when there was such a glut with crude oil being done there? Did you guys get impacted by that at all when the rail was backed up like that?
I think everybody got impacted by that. Everybody that shipped anything via rail, the grain, your agriculture, building materials, aggregates, anything that's shipped via rail took a backseat to crude by rail because of just the simple fact that there was so much money in it at the time that you know, the price of oil was, you know, $140 a barrel, and you know, a unit train of oil was, you know, worth millions of dollars, not let alone just, you know, a unit train of sand that's worth a few hundred thousand dollars, but and or building materials or grain or whatever the case may be. The railroads are, and you mentioned it, the economic backbone of the country, but they're also a monopolistic, you know, non-competitive type market, and they can set their rates. So they enjoyed some very lucrative rates with the crude by rail, and you know they wanted the other products, the other industrial products, to catch up with that. So,
how about when it comes to hang on one second here. Excuse me. How about when it comes to the downturn, the recent activity that happened? You know, a lot of people were trying to figure out ways to adapt with the low oil prices, that sort of thing. Did you guys have any advice for anybody out there? You guys are still in business, you know, so you don't have to give away your secrets or anything like that, or disclose your finances or even some of your strategies. But in any kind of 5,000-foot view advice you might have for anybody who kind of is still maybe trying to figure out how to make it through the downturn?
Find yourself 3 to 5 customers and keep those 3 to 5 customers for the rest of the life of your company.
Yeah, be very good. But always plan for the bad times and be happy in the good times.
It's cyclical as this business is, and the customers that are in the business also understand the cyclical nature of it, and they typically will do business with the people that got them to where they're at now. I mean, we've got customers that we've had selling frac sand. I've sold Paul's product for the last 10 years, and I've had customers, same customers, dealing with the same people for the last 10 years. And, you know, you'll get others that come in and want to pay more money for it, or others that'll, you know, they'll take more volume, but it's typically, you know, we stick with the people that got us to where we're at, and we take care of them, and they take care of us.
Any final thoughts you might have? Anything that needs to be reiterated? Anything that we forgot to mention? Any summarization that you'd like to do? Make sure you mention your company, how people can get in touch with you and everything, but the floor is yours.
Right. Well, Family Brothers is a privately held company. Everything that we do is very transparent. We manufacture a very good quality silica sand from two different places. We're always looking for different opportunities with different customers. If anyone needs any sort of pricing, they can contact me. My name is Jason Love at 214-918-0522. And I can put them in contact with the owner of the company, or if they want to deal directly with me. We have several other salespeople that work with us, and logistics folks that work with us as well. They're kind of too infinite to mention, but we have a wonderful set of people and a wonderful attitude toward helping our customers.
To listen to the full-length interview with Paul Salt and Jason Love of Manly Brothers of Indiana Incorporated, or to listen to other Coffee and Capitalism features, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network. The music on today's program is written and performed by the Moody River Band. To find out more about the Moody River Band or their music, visit our website, thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musician tab. That's thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musicians tab. If you have any Coffee and Capitalism questions for myself or any of our experts, feel free to email me at jason@thecrudelife.com. That's jason@thecrudelife.com. And feel free to like our Facebook page as well. That's facebook.com/thecrudelife. facebook.com/thecrudelife. Like us on Facebook today. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the...
Yeah, we're singing it like they did.
Back
to the way.
Let me take a moment to talk to you about Eric Hatch and Hatch Coaching. Now, with Hatch Coaching, you'll experience extreme transparency. Eric Hatch has built an empire on the business of helping others, and in this case, that means helping companies create wealth and abundance. By choosing Hatch Coaching, you're going to gain the knowledge and tools that will take your business to that next level. Eric Hatch speaks on workplace culture, honesty in the workplace, transparency, faith, compassionate capitalism, and many other topics that will grow your business. Make sure you call and reserve Eric Hatch today. 701-318-4946. That's 701-318-4946. Or I'll tell you what, send me an email, jason@thecrudelife.com. That's jason@thecrudelife.com. And I'll make sure that it gets to Eric Hatch. It's time for your company to create wealth and abundance too. Reserve Eric Hatch today.
MBI Energy Services has committed to responsibly growing with today's oil and gas industry by providing proven experience, strategic locations, and integrated services. MBI Energy Services is well established, and its innovation in safety and excellent customer service is what truly makes MBI Energy Services the oil field service professionals. Learn more at MBIEnergyServices.com.